How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also check us out every week on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone, the Sirius Satellite Radio app. If you're online, we're available at iHeart.com. iHeartRadio in the Talk Radio portal. Search Wrestling Observer and there we be, as well as the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. If you ever miss this show, you can head over to the front page of WrestlingObserver.com immediately after the show ends, and there is a replay for you to download. We got a lot of stuff to get into here today. Last night was supposed to be the first ever Bellator pay-per-view, but guess what? It wasn't on pay-per-view. It was free on Spike TV after Tito Ortiz suffered a neck fracture and his match with Quentin Jackson was removed from the show. We're going to talk about that show. Eddie Alvarez, Michael Chandler was the main event, a rematch of one of the great fights, one of the greatest fights, maybe the greatest fight in Bellator history. Last night, it was a great fight. We'll talk about who won, what that means for the future. It was a match with a lot of ramifications, a lot of ramifications. So we're going to talk about that. Plus, last week, WWE Hell in a Cell, the new WWE champion is not, in fact, Daniel Bryan. So at the end of the day, the odds makers were 100% right about all of the matches. So if you listen to the odds last week on the show, well, you knew all the results going in. So we're going to talk about Hell in a Cell. We're going to talk about how this plays into Survivor Series. Plus some notes, who's going to be challenging for the WWF title, WWE title, who's going to be challenging for the world title, what is going on with Roman Reigns and The Shield. We're going to talk about a lot of different WWE notes. Plus today, AJ Styles is defending the TNA title. That's right. Not in TNA. He's defending it elsewhere. Where is elsewhere? Well, we'll talk about that later on today as well. We got so much stuff to get into today. Plus WWE financials and the history of the WWE network, the future of the network. When is it going to debut? Can it succeed? All of that and more coming up after the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We have Mike Sempervivi here on the line, and we are talking a number of different topics, not the least of which is last night's Alvarez versus Chandler Bellator main event. Eddie Alvarez won the title. Now, the story that a lot of people don't know is that Eddie Alvarez was involved in a very bitter lawsuit with Bellator. He wanted out of his contract. He wanted to go to UFC. Bellator had the right to match the offer. It's a very complicated situation. We don't need to go over all of it here. But at the end of the day, they settled. How did they settle? Well, Eddie Alvarez returned to Bellator basically with a one or two fight deal. The story was he was going to have this fight with Michael Chandler for the title. If Eddie Alvarez lost, he was an unrestricted free agent, which means he could have gone to UFC. Now, of course, the question is, if Eddie Alvarez lost, would UFC have picked him up? That's the question we don't have an answer to. However, if Eddie Alvarez beat Michael Chandler, he remains in Bellator for one more fight, win or lose. And so what they're almost certainly going to do is they're going to do Eddie Alvarez versus Michael Chandler Part 3. They are rolling the dice. If Eddie Alvarez beats Michael Chandler a third time or in the third match, he can leave for UFC as the Bellator champion. And of course, if Michael Chandler beats him, he takes the title back and away Eddie goes. A lot of stipulations here that really not a lot of people in the public knew about. Mike, what did you think of the fight last night? And what do you think of the fact that they took that big gamble and Eddie Alvarez won?
The fight itself was great. The show itself was... You know, it's interesting to think about if this would have actually been a pay-per-view, because all it was would have been whatever they were going to charge, a $30 or a $40 version of the TV show, down to the graphics, right down to the fact that they didn't import any celebrities or anything like that, or... You know, Rob Van Dam was there. It's not like they showed him in the crowd. You know, they showed Rampage, but it's not like they had him cut a promo about his fight coming up with Joey Beltran. But as far as bookends of the show, there was a really good opening fight that was exciting and ended in a knockout. And then it ended with Chandler and Alvarez, which, you know, the whole thing with the lawsuit, like you said, it would take too much time to go through it. And there are plenty of other shows that we've done in the past where we've talked about it. Bad for Bellator because the way the fight went, everybody's going to want to see a rubber match between the two. And it's a no lose situation now, really, for Eddie Alvarez, in that he wins, he gets to walk into the UFC as the Bellator lightweight champion. And he's not going to get probably the same exact deal that he was offered from the UFC, but he's going to get a very good one and will probably be the semi-main event, if not main event, on a pay-per-view show and get a portion of those proceedings. If he loses, big deal. You know, he goes out, as long as he's not splattered in the first round and loses in, you know, 10 seconds or something like that, it really probably is not going to hurt him going into the UFC. So, you know, a bad night for Bjorn Rebney that way. And again, the show went on forever. And there's another kind of a bad part about the whole thing with Chandler and Alvarez, is there were probably a lot of people that woke up this morning and checked their DVRs and didn't get a chance to see it, because the show didn't end until 12:45 Eastern time. So if you set your DVR 15 or 30 minutes after, you're out of luck, because, you know, there was drama in that, who was going to win the fight, and it ended up being a split decision win for Alvarez that, again, unless you were watching live, you probably didn't know about.
It was a great fight. I don't know if it was as good as their first fight, but certainly a great fight. And I didn't really hear a lot of feedback that from people that disagreed with the decision, but it was close in a lot of rounds. And so I suppose that if you felt that Chandler won the fight, I mean, I can't disagree too much. I had the fight for Alvarez. But what do you think, Mike, happens in fight three? Because Chandler, he clearly got tired there near the end. Alvarez just wasn't going to give up. He went into the fifth round. I mean, his corner was pretty much telling him, you got to finish this fight, dude. You got to finish this fight. And that dude went in to finish the fight. And he didn't finish the fight. But as it turned out, he had won enough of the rounds on the judges' scorecards that he ended up getting the split decision victory. But how do you see things going? This is a big gamble for Bellator. Chandler has to win. Well, he doesn't have to win. I mean, it's not good. I don't think it makes too much of a difference one way or the other for Bellator at the end of the day. But for their own, you know, for their own edification, he's got to win that third fight. And how do you see a third fight going?
Who knows? You know, I'll go with Eddie Alvarez, but, you know, I actually thought Chandler won the fight last night, because I thought he took the first, second, and fourth rounds, and it ended up being the second round, which was really the one in question on the judges' scorecards, because all of them took Alvarez in that second round after all of them gave Chandler the first. So the second round ended up being the deciding round. But it was kind of a surprise to see Chandler slow up there at the end. And, you know, the third fight will be interesting, because if you're Eddie Alvarez, you don't want to take any unneeded risks, you know, as far as winning the fight. Although, again, they've been so competitive with each other, and this has been two great fights so far, that, again, you can't play too cautious. But I'll go ahead and say Alvarez wins, just because of the way Bellator's luck has gone. If, you know, there was a shot of, after the decision was announced, with Bjorn Rebney kind of shaking his head, which, you know, unintentionally for him will kind of go down in the, you know, the archives of this whole situation and, you know, typifying this situation. Because, again, it's not, you know, Chandler doesn't have to win the fight, and it's not like it really affects the reputation of Bellator all that much, because it's not a whole lot of people in comparison with the UFC watch Bellator or even know what it is. So, but as far as ego goes, yeah, you know, Bellator and Bjorn Rebney would certainly want Chandler to go ahead and win this fight. It'll be one of the more interesting things here, too, will be, do they try to go ahead and put this on pay-per-view? You do have something that is worth people paying for, but obviously you'd have to surround that with a lot of stuff. And considering how the promotion of this show went and the attendance leading into it, you know, a couple weeks out, and apparently they got a decent crowd in Long Beach, but they did a lot of papering for it, and there were some bad reports on how tickets were selling, you know, weeks out of it. Be interesting to see whether they try to roll the dice again and put this on pay-per-view.
Bjorn Rebney could not have looked more uncomfortable there at the end when he had to walk in there and strap that belt around Eddie Alvarez's waist after all the problems the two had. I mean, it was an awkward situation there, and Eddie Alvarez wouldn't even look at him. No congratulations on either side. It was almost like an MMA version of the storyline in TNA with AJ Styles. Here's the guy that the owner is just can't wait to get rid of, and unfortunately the guy just won his belt, and so he's got his Bound for Glory coming, and boy is he hoping that Michael Chandler can take that belt back before this guy takes it elsewhere.
I think even more disappointing was the fact that AJ Styles was not there. He's talking to Eddie Alvarez at some point.
That's because he's in Mexico.
Oh, that's right.
He's defending the TNA title today in Mexico, everybody, against Judas Macias, who in fact at one point was working for TNA. And AJ apparently is sanctioning his own title matches now.
At least they're doing something with it. And we had talked about, you know, AAA being one of the only places that they could reach out to, you know, Japan and England and stuff like that. But I don't know schedule-wise if Styles would be able to do that. But we talked about, you know, for them to, again, and this whole storyline has been relatively awful anyway, but something to try to put some reality in it and do something better than what they did with Punk. Because Punk, you know, they didn't obviously let him show up at Ring of Honor or Chikara or anything like that. When he did his angle, at least they'll have something when it comes to AAA of AJ just going out there and doing what he wants to do with their belt.
Apparently he's going to be going to Wrestle One as well.
Oh, this is all perfect. Good, because that's actually Jeff Jarrett was there wrestling Keiji Muda not all that long ago. So at least, you know, again, this doesn't help the storyline as far as watching it on Impact Wrestling every week. It's really going to be a blip on the radar with that unless they come up with some magical stuff for this thing quick. But at least it's something, and at least it's, you know, again, trying to do something with AJ not technically being employed but holding their championship.
We're going to head to a break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the Bellator talk. And in some ways, it was a terrible night for Bjorn Rebney. We'll talk about why in a second. And then we got the WWE Hell in a Cell recap and news leading into Survivor Series and more. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline, Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can check us out on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone, the TuneIn Radio app. Search Sports Byline or Wrestling Observer. Also, if you're on the internet, iHeartRadio, iHeart.com, the talk radio portal. We're up there as well. Plus, the replay is up immediately following the show up at WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there and check that out as well. Now, we are talking the Bellator show last night. And to wrap up here, there were some title changes on the show. Pat Curran lost his title to Daniel Strauss. And King Mo, in the interim light heavyweight title fight, lost again to Emmanuel Newton. And Newton has 1/10 the charisma of King Mo. Mo went in there, and I'm sure the idea was that Mo wins a title, and then you do the unification match with Attila Vey, who is the current light heavyweight champion. But King Mo went in there, and over five rounds, he managed to lose 49-46. And close fight, but for Bjorn Rebney, your big star King Mo losing. And then in the main event, the guy, the last guy you would want to win his fight, Eddie Alvarez, wins your lightweight title. So a rough night for Bjorn Rebney.
Well, at least, you know, you got Strauss Curran 3 that could come out of this, and I don't know if anybody's going to be beating down the door for it, but at least in the next couple of fights, in theory, you could go ahead and do that one if you wanted to, because they did tell a good story on that one with and being able to show footage from HDNet and the XFO organization or wherever that fight took place with Curran defeating Strauss and kind of using that as his, you know, leap into defeating Joe Warren and defeating Patricio Pitbull and the whole nine yards there. So at least he has that going for him. But yeah, King Mo, just he won the first round, and then some point during the second round, it was towards the middle of it, got hit with a head kick that rocked him backwards a little bit, and he was able to recover. But that seemed to really turn the tempo of the fight, and Newton went on and rolled. And again, I guess if you want to do a Chandler Alvarez fight, I don't know if you're able to pull off having a Vey Newton fight on there, but it's, you know, even with the loss, when you kind of look at everything, you know Joe Warren and Ben Askren, there's a couple guys that they have and everything, but you know, Emmanuel Newton is not going to be, you know, blowing anybody over, as you said, with charisma or anything else, or fight style for that matter, when it comes to being their 205-pound champion. And you know, too bad for King Mo. You know, he was laboring and didn't look that great towards the end of that fight either. And I don't know if he, you know, he could probably make 185 pounds. You know, he's got the history of being able to cut, and obviously being an amateur wrestler. You know, the cut for him, he could probably go ahead and pull it off. But at 32 years old, with the condition his knees are in, I don't know if the want to is there for that. But you're going to have to get some steam behind him, even though he's still, by default, one of the most charismatic and notable guys that you have, to try to get himself back on track and his career back on path. It's, I don't know, going to be an interesting run here.
Hell in a Cell was last Sunday. We previewed the show here. We went over all of the odds, gave all of our predictions, and at the end of the day, despite the odds saying that Randy Orton was going to win the title, I think everybody in the world thought, well, it's time to put that belt on Daniel Bryan. And not only did they not put the belt on Daniel Bryan, Shawn Michaels was the guest referee, did a big schmoz spot, Triple H ended up in the ring, it was a, you know, all these guys inside Hell in a Cell, no way in, no way out. Brian did a flying knee on Hunter. Sean, who had taken a bump, woke up just in time to see Brian attacking his friend. So he super kicked him. And on Monday, they did a... I know that Lance Storm disagrees with this, but the idea was Sean turned heel on Monday. And we'll see what happens. Sean is insisting that this is not an angle for a match. He's insisting he's not wrestling again anytime soon, but there are people in WWE who are insistent that he is going to be wrestling Daniel Bryan this year at WrestleMania. So it is a wait-and-see sort of situation, but Daniel Bryan out of the title picture. He'll now be feuding with the Wyatt Clan, along with CM Punk. And Mike, what do you think of the decision they made on Sunday?
I was really surprised with it. I really thought they'd go in the direction of giving Bryan the title, even if they, you know, took it off of him, you know, not long after or anything like that. I really thought they'd be doing the happy payoff to that feud. And I guess in some ways there will be a happy payoff to that feud, because I don't care what Shawn Michaels says. It is very difficult for me to believe that there will not be Daniel Bryan and Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania next year. Which, if you think about it, is going to be great. And I'm not saying that it excuses anything. Believe me, the furthest thing, as far as, you know, how they booked Daniel Bryan and how they portrayed him throughout this whole thing and how it ends, you know, in the way that it did, certainly not excusing that. But the possibility of Michaels and Bryan at WrestleMania will, even though it'll be months later, will put a little bit of salve on this wound. Again, bad... The way Daniel Bryan was treated, and it doesn't hurt my feelings to see him not win the title. I wish he would have gotten a little bit, given a little more comeuppance before they had him go, and he and CM Punk feuding with the Wyatts. And this is a way to elevate the Wyatts. It's not like this is, you know, we're going to bury Punk, and, you know, it's not like Punk and Bryan are facing the, I don't know, 3MB or something like that. It's a way to get the Wyatts up there as a more powerful group, because it looks as though the Shield is not breaking. I'm not saying they're going to break up soon, but they're certainly well on their way to it with the way that they've Roman Reigns has been portrayed and the way he's kind of acted in the last couple of shows, the last two shows, and teasing tension between John Moxley, Dean Ambrose, and the rest of the group. So it's not a bad deal, you know, keeping them together, but it's Daniel Bryan. It's too bad he never even got a little bit of comeuppance. And I know that he was just a little cog in the machine of a storyline, and who knows what would have really happened, with this deal if John Cena would have never been out for that period of time. But, you know, it's not going to kill Daniel Bryan. He's always going to have his fans. People are going to chant yes, and he's so good, and people like him so much, and he can work with everybody, and that's one of the reasons why, and have great matches and make everybody look good. So I don't cry for his career or anything like that, but boy, I think they missed a chance. It just, you know, you didn't have to put him over the top and make sure that he, you know, was the one stomping on the McMahon, Helmsley, Orton crew or anything like that. But for him getting a little bit more shine out of the deal, that would have been the way I would have went, especially with their lack of depth.
You know, the SummerSlam buy rate came in, and Vince was very disappointed. And he did his, they did their annual investors call, and he talked about how we presented an attraction that the people didn't want to see. And I was like, are you talking about Daniel Bryan and John Cena? Are you going to blame the SummerSlam buy rate on Daniel Bryan? When Night of Champions and Battleground come in and they do poorly, are you going to blame this on Daniel Bryan? Because my recollection is that Daniel Bryan got a title shot at SummerSlam because John Cena gifted it to him. John Cena came out and said, you know, I am going to give this title shot to Daniel Bryan. What did Daniel Bryan do in storyline to earn this? He was gifted a championship match. Then, the storyline for months was that this guy was not befitting the spot as WWE champion. He was too small. He was too ugly. He was a troll. This guy can't be champion. That was the storyline for months. And now, you're shocked that the buy rates are poor and you're going to blame it on Daniel Bryan? If that's what happened here, and keep in mind, now I will say that the decision to give the title to Randy Orton was not something that was made on Sunday. This had been planned for a while. So it's not like the SummerSlam buy rate came in and Vince was like, I gotta switch this finish. I can't put this title on Daniel Bryan. You know, they decided this in advance. But if this decision was made because they got early indications about pay-per-views and pay-per-views weren't doing well, if that's the conclusion they came to, it must be Daniel Bryan, then that doesn't leave me with a lot of faith for the short-term future of this company, because this was not Daniel Bryan's fault. Daniel Bryan, if anything, overachieved given what they gave him. He didn't valiantly fight and defeat some opponent to become the number one contender at SummerSlam. No, he was gifted it in storyline, and then they did nothing but make fun of him for months and months. So if you want to say that, well, you know, we screwed up with Daniel Bryan, let's put him back in the mid-card and rebuild him and then give him the title, you know, it's kind of like, meh, I don't know. This is not this guy's fault. This was a self-fulfilling prophecy on your part.
Well, that's it. I mean, is Daniel Bryan John Cena? No, he's not. And if you always put things at that, you know, well, you know, compared to that, it's bull, because the booking was so bad on everything. And if you look throughout the year, too, I mean, when you include the 24,000, the Night of Champions was down as compared to last year, 189,000 buys down to 175,000 buys. That makes them net for the year down 308,000 buys. There was only one pay-per-view that was up this year. That was Payback, which I think was 8,000 or was it Payback? No, I'm sorry. It was Money in the Bank. That was actually 11,000 buys higher. So, you know, again, you can say it's one guy, but then you look at the overall totality of everything, and they'll always throw out excuses like that. There always needs to be a scapegoat for something. It's just, when it comes to this case, it's really not fair. It's just flat out, it's not fair. And then you're going to see that with Battleground and Hell in the Cell, too. You know, he's a guy that got his butt kicked for basically two straight months on TV when you're quote-unquote supposedly trying to build him up. And what, he got one or two revenge shots on Orton, and that was about it. So, again, to blame it on Daniel Bryan is foolish, and they know it's not the case. They can try to convince themselves otherwise, but deep down, if they actually, you know, come out and say they believe it, they don't believe it.
This led to, let's talk a little bit more about the pay-per-view. Also on the show, John Cena did win the world title, and we're going to talk about this when we come back from the break. Observer Live, Sports Byline, Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Can't even hit my own brakes, but we are back. We're going to continue talking about Battleground. We are here every Sunday. Hell in a Cell, actually. I'm really on a roll here tonight. We are back. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Check us out, the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. Search Sports Byline or Wrestling Observer. There we are. iHeartRadio on the internet, iHeart.com. Also in the Talk Radio portal. You can check us out on the Sirius Satellite Radio app and up at WrestlingObserver.com, where we have a subscription area. For $10.99, you can get radio shows every single day. Subscribe, and tonight, two more shows coming your way. I've got a Brian and Vinny show and a Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer. Sempervivi did a two-part Wrestling Observer Radio last night, Saturday night. And we got shows coming up all this week, including a very, very, very special guest. Big guest tomorrow on the show. And not only do you get all of these brand new shows when you sign up, but as a subscriber, you get full access to every single show that we have ever done. Thousands and thousands of shows dating back to 2005. Over 4,000 shows are in the archives right now. 5,000, actually, I believe. So many shows in the archives, you'll never run out of things to listen to. If you've got a commute, if you like to listen to audio while you work, if you like to listen to audio in the gym, you will always have not only brand new audio, several shows a day, but you get full access to every show that we have ever done. So check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. Got another few emails this week from people that used to be freeloaders, but they decided to give it a shot. One-time shot for $10.99, they thought, and guess what? Now they're subscribing every single month because they get so much audio, not to mention the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Figure Four Weekly, our soon-to-be newly moderated board. So much stuff up there. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. We are talking Hell in a Cell. There's a new world champion. His name is John Cena. This is leading to Survivor Series, where it's going to be John Cena versus Alberto Del Rio in a rematch for the title. It's looking like it's going to be Randy Orton versus The Big Show for the WWE title. We are going to have The Shield in some sort of eight-man tag team match, it's looking like. We've got, what else do we have? The Wyatt Clan against Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, either in a singles match or another eight-man tag. Probably two eight-man Survivor Series elimination-style matches on the show, and more to come. Now, looking at that card, Mike, it appears they're going to be holding off Big Show versus Triple H until TLC. That could change, but that looks like where they're going. What do you think of the card for Survivor Series so far?
It's not bad, I guess. You know, I mean, I guess we'll just, you know, going to have to see how the lead up is going into it. On paper, the Wyatt Clan and Kane against Punk and, you know, Daniel Bryan, and I guess, you know, well, it probably won't, most certainly will not be Miz, considering he's just there to be buried week after week, which I'm completely fine
actually,
with.
Actually, Miz could end up in that match.
Yeah, Miz and Dolph Ziggler both could, and then they could just basically have Dolph and Miz slam into each other, missing, you know, moves at top speed and eliminate each other, because considering that's the way that their career path is going. But I could see a scenario like that, and, you know, on paper right now, you can't say anything bad about it. It's just how all this lead up is going to be, you know, over the next, 3 weeks here, 3-4 weeks, whatever it is, coming into almost Thanksgiving when this pay-per-view happens.
All right, here is the card as I had it in Figure Four Weekly this week. 80% confirmed, so some of this may change. The show looks to be John Cena versus Alberto Del Rio, Randy Orton versus Big Show for the WWE title, Shield and the Real Americans against the Usos, Cody Rhodes, and Goldust, likely an eight-man elimination. The Wyatts, or actually that could also be a match where the titles are on the line. If anybody pins anybody in the Shield, they win the titles. So they may end up doing that. Also, the Wyatts and Punk and Bryan in either an 8-man elimination with more partners or, and I guess it doesn't really make sense at all, actually, but because Kane just turned heel, I mean, you could put Kane with the Wyatts, and it could be Kane and the Wyatts against Punk, Bryan, Miz, and Dolph Ziggler. I guess we'll see. Dean Ambrose against Big E Langston for the U.S. title, which is actually interesting because it was supposed to be Big E Langston against Curtis Axel for the Intercontinental title at Hell in a Cell, but poor Hennig blew out his hip flexors. Both of them, apparently. I don't even know how you do that. But apparently he did, and so he's out of action for a while. So apparently it's now going to be Dean Ambrose and Big E Langston. And that's the card for the moment. Probably some sort of women's match. AJ defending the title against somebody. And then that leads to the TLC show. So they have a card quite a ways in advance as well. So that's pretty impressive, and we'll find out more tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's all. I mean, and you look at that card on paper, and you can't really bash it or anything because, you know, Del Rio and Cena are actually, you know, pretty good together. I don't know if anybody's really clamoring for a rematch between the two, but obviously Cena's got to face somebody, and Del Rio, you know, again, it's he's been such damaged goods with the way he's been portrayed and everything, but you know, it's how they incorporate Big Show further, you know, back into the mix here and everything. And you know, what shenanigans will take place in the lead up to this thing. Obviously, it won't be as bad as Daniel Bryan or anything like that. But, you know, and here's one thing, too. I know, again, hardcore fans of Daniel Bryan don't want to see him. You know, they would rather have seen him as world champion and going off and fending off McMahon Helmsley. And that's true. But if they want the Wyatts to replace the Shield as far as being the top three-man, you know, Freebird heel unit or extensions of the McMahon-Helmsley regime, they're going to have to, you know, Brody Lee is pretty good, you know, but Eric Rowan, they need to get better. they need to get better, and there's really no other two people that can make them look better and help them out even more than Punk and Daniel Bryan. So, I don't want it to be damning with faint praise to hardcore Daniel Bryan fans out there, but look, what happened, and you're not going to be happy about it, but at least, you know, hopefully their work will rub off on those two because they could certainly use it.
They started what, at least at the beginning, was a very subtle tease for a Roman Reigns babyface turn, or at least a split from the Shield. And when I first saw the, it was so subtle. The first time I noticed it was so subtle, actually, that I missed the first two. But I did notice the one where, in the main event of Raw, they had Triple H, Stephanie, and Randy Orton out there, and they decided to do a big group hug. And they do this group hug, and the Shield is in the ring. And so, over their shoulders, as they're doing a group hug, you see Roman Reigns in the background, and he has a look of just complete disgust on his face. And, I saw it and I was like, man, is he supposed to look like that? And then I was alerted that, yeah, they did another tease earlier in the show and this and that. Anyway, the point is, I thought, okay, this is subtle. They're going to build this up over a period of time. And then he's going to end up doing the split maybe in the spring or something like that. Maybe they'll make it through WrestleMania or they'll split at WrestleMania or something like that. But the latest is, split may be coming sooner rather than later, before the end of the year. Now, we'll see. Roman Reigns, I mean, from day one, Roman Reigns was going to be their guy. They love his look. They think he's going to be a big star. He's got size, good physique, the whole nine yards. He is still, I mean, he's still pretty green. He's way better now than he was when he debuted. But I don't know if he's ready for a big-time singles push. And I don't know really what you do to get him ready other than just get him in the ring as much as he can. But still, he's doing a lot of tag team matches. It's a very different kind of match. You've got other guys to rely on. We'll see. I'm going to be really sad when the Shield breaks up. I mean, you can get any other three-man team you want, but these guys are something special. They have great matches. They're so awesome together. Everybody has their role. Everybody knows exactly what to do, And I just don't know if the Wyatt clan is going to be an acceptable replacement.
They won't. It's hard to replicate the Shield in that they, look how they debuted, look how much they didn't bother to interfere with them or mess with them. There was that time for whatever reason where it seemed like they were kind of sort of being buried a little bit. But even when that was going on, it's not like, there were big wins that people got over them, but, they came in chunks, and they even though they didn't make it as big of a deal as they should have, maybe, but they still made it a big deal to say that, this is the first time Reigns has been beaten in singles competition. It's the first time they've been beaten as a team and all that sort of stuff. So you can't replicate it, and it's probably way too early. In fact, it is way too early, and I don't know what you do then with Ambrose. Ambrose is going to be fine on his own because of the way he can talk, and he's just different. But as far as Tyler Black Seth Rollins goes, hopefully they keep them as a team for a while. Obviously they want to try to revitalize the tag team mix a little bit. They could use, with the Usos and the Primetime Players and the Matadors and, Cesaro looking like he could end up as a face, and whether that means a default with Swagger, for a little while. I mean, it's possible. So they could use some heel tag teams. So them kept together in the mix probably wouldn't be that bad of an idea. In fact, I'd like that a lot because of the way both of them can work. And again, helping out with a Primetime Players team that, with a Darren or a Titus O'Neil, who could use the help as they, probably he's going to have a future as a singles star. That wouldn't hurt my feelings at all. Again, way too early, though. Just way too early. Although Roman Reigns on SmackDown as well, too, and I don't know if he had a chance to see that yet, He wanted to take on all the baby faces and, was pulled away by Rollins and Ambrose, which led to boos to the crowd, too. So, again, with how much they've done with trying to tweak them and really make it look like Reigns is being disgusted and frustrated in the whole nine yards, it probably is going to come a lot sooner than later.
Well, they could do. I mean, there are two options if you break up the Shield. The first option is you break Roman Reigns off. The Shield splinters. They all go singles for a while, and you have the Wyatt clan as a new six-man unit. And at the end of the day, if all three guys don't get over, or if none of the guys, I mean, maybe one guy gets over, maybe nobody gets over, you can always put them back together as a three-man babyface unit, and you can get another year of storylines out of them battling a bunch of three-man heel teams, including the Wyatt clan. So you could do that, or the other option is, you break off Roman Reigns and you try to go singles with him. And then instead of just like breaking up the Shield, you add a new guy as the third member of the Shield. Find a guy in developmental that you've got a lot of high hopes for. And you put him in the Roman Reigns spot, and you've still got a three-man team. And even if the guy is green, remember, Roman Reigns, when he first started, was super green. But you had him in there with Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. And they covered for him, they taught him, and he's picked it up great. So you could find a guy. I don't know who the best heel in developmental would be to do this with, because he's got to be I don't know who it would be. I'd say Sami Zayn has to be a babyface, but God, he's a great worker.
Oh, by the way, I finally started watching NXT on Hulu. I got the Hulu to work.
Yeah.
Do you think Dolph Ziggler watches NXT? And if he does he feel bad looking at Tyler Breeze?
I don't know. It's a good question. You think he's a Ziggler ripoff?
Oh, I'm not saying ripoff, but they have very close to the same styles. Obviously, Ziggler, the better athlete, the better amateur wrestler, all that sort of stuff. But
what about Cody Graves as a low-level CM Punk?
Although apparently
he just got a brand new gimmick, so that's all about to change. Maybe they figured you're too much like Punk. Now we need to make you, Bobby Fish? I don't know who he's supposed to be now.
I don't know. Neville doesn't fit the bill. I know they got some big guys down there, but I don't
Alexander
know if they fit
into Rusev.
There you go, as being the newest member of the Shield.
All right, back in a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Later on today, AJ Styles defending that TNA title in Mexico. I suspect he'll win, but hey, you never know. Maybe Judas Macias will be the new Triple H champion. Triple H champion by the time this day is done. Now, Mike, we don't have a date for the WWE Network launch. probably going to be, they're claiming first quarter of 2014. I think I've heard that for about 2 years now. Over under the WWE Network launching before WrestleMania and the WWE Network a year from now being anything resembling success.
I don't think they have a shot at it debuting before WrestleMania. I could see them using WrestleMania as the impetus and all the hype and all the attention and all that stuff to announce its major rollout or something like that for later on in the year. But I just can't believe it's going to be in the first quarter. And, you know, as far as that network goes a year from now, I won't believe it. I don't believe their TV rights fees thing, but we don't have enough time to get into all that. I would just say, I mean, for me, I would stay with the NBC Universal family. And I know they want to do a subscriber system and all that sort of stuff, but I would try to use any of the help you can get at all from NBC Universal and the amount of channels that they have, including Universal HD and some other things where, again, I know they want to do subscriptions. I just don't think that it's going to be what they think it's going to be. And I think, and nobody wants to be on the sports tier. I understand that, but I really think WWE would be much better off that way.
All right. We are going to wrap it up here for today, but head to WrestlingObserver.com right now and sign up. $10.99 a month. And if you do, you got two more shows coming today. Myself and Vinny later on tonight, Brian and Vinny's show. We'll be talking NXT, Ring of Honor, bunch of other stuff. And then Dave Meltzer and I will be talking all of the news from the weekend. That is all up tonight at WrestlingObserver.com. Big guest coming up tomorrow. And all else fails, go to WrestlingObserver.com and on the right-hand side of the page, our latest free radio shows. Absolutely free. Spend the afternoon having some fun listening to some shows. WrestlingObserver.com, that is the place to go. Thanks as always to Mike. We're going to be back next week with a brand new show. A lot of stuff to talk about there. Thanks, everybody, at Sports Byline. We shall talk to you guys again after a while. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.